The audio theater you are about to hear is a listening experience quite different from the usual promotional pitch or entertainment. It is both inspirational and entertaining, but beyond that, it's a thoughtful and important conversation between two people, Des Berghofer and Jerry Schwartz. Des and Jerry are a dynamic team, whom you will hear shortly telling you why a project they developed in 1992 is even more relevant today. Des is the author of a book called The Visioneers, a courage story about belief in the future. Jerry is a psychologist, poet, and inspirational leader. They will explain to you how they teamed up to produce the original project in the early 1990s and why they are excited about bringing it forward at this time. If you are listening to this recording now, it's not a random happening. Rather, you have been chosen by someone who knows you, or by Des and Jerry themselves, because of who you are, and because of the choices you have made in your life. You are asked to listen to what follows in a deep and open way, as Des and Jerry share their hard-earned wisdom. They speak directly to you, person to person, soul to soul, spirit to spirit. The story they have to tell is a very big story, coming from the same tradition as the sacred stories that have inspired people for millennia. Their purpose, like the story, is also a big one, as they will reveal in the overview at the beginning and in detail at the end. It's sufficient to say that at whatever level you choose to participate, they will ask you to act. So, unlike most listening experiences, this one is not passive. You are asked to engage, to be part of the conversation. So, let's get started. Here to begin is Jerry.
Hi. I'd like to do away with formalities and ask you to imagine that we're fully engaged in a face-to-face conversation, so that I can speak to you directly. Of course, I'd prefer it to be a dialogue, but the technology does not yet allow it. So for now, the dialogue will be between Des and me, with you as a listener. Des wrote the book The Visioneers, a courage story about belief in the future, in the early 1990s. At the time, we were business partners in teaching leaders how to respond to the difficult challenges of the day and cope with an accelerating rate of change. Our work was local, national, and international. I was also fully engaged as a psychologist and neuroscientist in running a learning center for children, youth, and young adults. Des wrote The Visioneers in the chunks of time between all this, wherever he was. We were also partners of the heart, newly married as mature people from very different earlier lives. Des was driven to write this story, and week after week, he read it to me as he wrote it. And as I listened, as a full adult, a lifetime inveterate reader, I could tell this story was different. It touched me very deeply. It invited me, as a full participant, right into the action. Not only did I hear the story, I actually lived it. Because I had experienced the story first as a listener, I felt we had to create it as a listening experience for others as well, since I believed that this was the way that humanity throughout history heard and were inspired by big stories. So in the midst of everything, with the publication deadline of the book and the launch less than 3 months away, Des mind-mapped the story into 20 episodes, and without script or practice, we taped 20 30-minute episodes over 5 days. What you will hear in what follows is our excitement in telling the story in this way, live, so to speak, as if you were sitting in our presence, as if we and our listeners were part of the live action. The book was published and sold 2,000 copies. That was a lot of copies at that time. Many others were given away to libraries and special people, and the audio theater was boxed as a set of 10 tapes, 30 minutes to each side, and was also sold. We took the initiative to connect to a local and worldwide community of readers and listeners through the publication of a newsletter called The Visioneer. All that was many years ago, but quite recently something called me to revisit the tapes. As I listened, I realized it was as if the tapes were made for today, and that what happened before was a kind of rehearsal for the real performance. I asked Des to join me in listening to the tapes. But once begun, the listening experience was addictive and it quite blew me away. I was convinced that the message of the Visioneers was meant for our time today, which is a dangerous moment in history when the systems that support life and civilization are at critical tipping points. I know that today is in the past. People are taking courageous action to improve the world wherever they find it, but they are isolated from each other. And I thought, what if this story could be brought back to be an umbrella and a unifying force for all these other actions, and indeed a stimulus for new and exciting creative projects? I realized that the technology for connection, so amazingly and accurately imagined by Des 25 years ago, is now a reality, and that the story could now inspire a worldwide audience in a way we could just not do in the early 1990s. It struck me that the story had a quality of ancient scripture, but not bound to any religion, just a timeless message for an evolved and evolving humanity, inspiring people of this generation to band together, not in gangs bent on violence and revenge that we hear about so much in our news, but in communities dedicated to doing good work that could be set as a counterpoint to the negativity all around us. 25 years ago, the story of the Visioneers was a fantasy. But now we can act to make it real. So let's bring Des, the author, into the dialogue to tell us about the Visioneers. Des, what did you have in mind when you wrote the Visioneers?
Put simply, I wanted to inspire a discussion about hope for the future. It was 1990, and things were beginning to look not so good for the world. I was paying attention to the evidence of environmental degradation all over the planet, war in the Middle East, growing inequality and poverty within and between nations, and an intractable conflict between Israelis and Palestinians that seemed to have the potential to engulf the whole world. So I said to myself, was there not a better way for people to live together on the planet?
So how does that relate to what is going on in the world today?
Well, we've gone deeper into the problems that have just not been adequately addressed. I like to use a metaphor that speaks about slack in a system. If you have enough slack in any system, there's room for it to absorb shocks from the outside. I think we're now reaching a tipping point where there is no longer any slack in the world system for it to absorb the kind of pressures we are placing on it. That's when you get breakdown, and the future for our children and grandchildren becomes chaotic and unpredictable.
So how can the story of the Visioneers help then?
Well, as I said, I wanted to inspire hope for the future. But my problem was how to do it. I was in the middle of my professional life and reading the literature coming out describing all of the problems and offering ideas about how to solve them. I was trained in university and knew how to write analytical and academic papers, but I didn't want to contribute any more pages to that kind of discussion. So I decided to write a story, a novel, a piece of creative fiction. I chose to put my ideas into a narrative because people can get excited about a good story, and I wanted to get people excited so that they would be moved to act to make things better. I thought that if I told an inspiring story about the way people changed the world for good, it might be a useful contribution. To do that, it had to be a different kind of story. It had to be a dramatic living story with the characters who represented the human family in all its diversity, race, age, ethnicity, religion, gender, and economic level. They would come from the villages and communities that exist all over the globe, within the cities and countries in every corner of the planet, and across every frontier that divides us as human beings. In this way, readers and listeners from all over the world could see themselves as part of the action. The characters would be ordinary people, but with special qualities of leadership. Compassionate, deep listeners, good thinkers, and most important, they would be willing to act. To act with courage. I called them visioneers, pioneers of the future. Such people represent the next step in human evolution that moves us from a sense of separation to an understanding that we're all connected to each other and the rest of the living world. The idea that we're all in this together. I wanted to write a story that would move people to act, and to do that, it had to be different from the usual passive reading experience. I wanted it to be a personal living experience for the reader or the listener, for them to participate in the story's action as if they were one of the visioneering team.
Will you explain how you did that?
Well, as you know, I took my cue from you. I knew from our workshops how you would lead people into a creative visualization and ask them to go on adventures in their imagination. So I crafted the story of the visioneers as a very long and detailed creative visualization. I asked the reader or the listener to experience the characters as real people with whom they could interact and participate in the unfolding events, pouring their own passionate longings into the story. Of course, I was there as the guide and the scribe, setting things down and probing their imagination. I looked for a new and different format, and I decided to bring in mentors who could help with the details. Larger-than-life real people from history, well-versed in world affairs. I chose Winston Churchill, who became an iconic figure in his day for his unbending, determined leadership of Britain as its Prime Minister during World War II, and President John Kennedy, forever remembered for his brief charismatic term of office as President of the USA during the early 1960s. Of all the leaders, he was the one who inspired hope in the future to a generation still recovering from the war and wary of what was coming in its aftermath. To them, I added Charles Dickens, one of the greatest novelists in the English language, especially noted for his masterful creation of characters and his stories of social reform in 19th century England. I put him to work as a late 20th century replica of himself. What I had to do then was to imagine what advice these three would have to give about the state of the world in the early 1990s. Well, they certainly had plenty of advice to give. But I also felt I needed another softer voice to tone down the powerful male influence. This time I went to fiction and added the voice of a passionate young girl called Anne, very much like Anne of Green Gables. So these mentors helped the reader-listener create the characters, especially the visioneers, and to fashion the action of the story until things come finally to a stirring and dramatic climax in a world transformed and connected as never before, brought together by the courage and actions of the visioneers.
Yes, I remember how when you first read it to me, so I was a listener, I became excited and engaged, and could actually see myself there playing my part in the action. That's why I persuaded you to produce an audio theater version. I knew people would be moved by hearing it just as I was, just as people have always been moved by listening to these great stories. So, We created this wonderful audio theater using the technology of the day, 20 half-hour episodes on audio tapes, in which we act out the story and play the roles of various characters. And as well, we comment on what is happening as the events unfold. We did it live, in real time, from mind maps, without rehearsal or revision, much as we're doing right now.
Yes, and for today's listeners, we have transcribed those original tapes into this MP3 file, but left in some parts of the old technology, so that you will hear our technician saying to fast forward the tape, or turn it over to go on to the next episode. Our new listeners won't have to do that, but by leaving the instructions in, we want to give the sense of this recording as a voice from the past with a message for today.
But we knew that the story also had to be entertaining as well as instructive. It was going to be a love story.
With the right mixture of intrigue, romance, mystery, and action, in which good finally triumphs over evil.
You know what? I think we've teased our listeners long enough with these details about how the story came to be. Why don't we give them a taste of it? To begin, tell us, who are the Visioneers?
Well, as I said before, 20 ordinary people representing human diversity in the world.
What do they do?
Well, there are several main characters. Let me start there. The one who really gets the action going is Father Luis Valdez. He's a Roman Catholic priest. He figures out a way to broadcast a televised message by satellite all over the world from his home base in an isolated mission in the high Andes in Chile.
That's intriguing. Who else can you tell us about?
Well, there's Esther Fisher, a beautiful young Israeli woman, an artist, very passionate and articulate, and a favorite daughter of her homeland. When the Visioneers first assemble, she inspires them with her words about what they can do. Why don't you read that piece from the book?
Yes, I will. Here's Esther. Can we here together create a wonderful vision for the world? The future is in our minds. We can begin here to see it. Can we clear our minds of all the bitterness, the old truths that don't serve us well? The evil that intrudes like a dark cancer growing to choke out life? I think we can do that. I know we can do it. And if we can do it here, then we can find a way to take it out into the world. And that would be a wonderful thing to do, don't you think so?
The reply to that comes from Mark Venture. He's an Australian chap, a practical sort of fellow, good-looking, mid-30s, and an engineer by profession. He eventually becomes the leader of the Visioneers. He says, I can already see the start of it. It begins with leadership, the kind of leadership that allows people to discover who they are, to celebrate their strengths, to recognize what needs to change, and then to press on to strive continuously to do better. There's no blueprint for where we have to go. We need to put our brains to work to see where we're going to be in a few short years if we don't do something different from what we're doing now. We need to get a vision of what something better can be. And we need to commit every bit of our energy to making that vision happen.
Well, that's a sample of who the Visioneers are. But what about the mentors? You mentioned them before. They provide another level of intrigue to the story. Can you give us an example of that?
Sure. Let's take Winston Churchill. He's the chief architect of the action in the story and is continually giving directions like this. The task of the Visioneers is to make sorties into every corner of the world, to get a groundswell of action going, to put pressure on the leaders to make some real changes. Of course, this won't make much difference at first, because all those people are carrying around the wrong mind frames in their heads, and they won't act differently until they think differently. That's when we play our trump card. Now, President Kennedy steps into the conversation and says, "Okay, Winston, you've got our attention. What's your big play?"
And of course, the answer to the question comes in the story.
Well, suffice it to say here that it's the most extraordinary intervention imaginable in world affairs, which if Churchill could have pulled it off in his lifetime, it would have saved the world from the ravages of two world wars and the Cold War that came afterwards, not to mention all of the other problems that followed.
All right, that sounds intriguing. Thank you, Des, for sharing these pieces of the story. Now let me ask you, why do you think it's important for this story to be told again to people today?
When we first created it, we didn't know what the next 25 years would be like. But we had our fears that if things didn't change in the direction we were urging, it would not be good. Now we've seen it, and we're much further down the wrong road. We've seen environmental degradation increase dramatically across the Earth, driven now by climate change that was just barely on the horizon 25 years ago. Ice caps melting at an increasing rate, drought and floods and severe weather events becoming almost commonplace, terrorism expanding and striking repeatedly so that no place on Earth seems safe, corruption in high places, and racism still far too real. Things are coming to a tipping point. If we don't move them away from the disaster side, there may soon be no way back. We need a new way to think about this. That's what the story of the Vision is all about. If ever there was need for a courage story about belief in the future, it's now. It's already written 25 years ago to be ready for today when it is so needed.
Still, there are many reasons to be hopeful, don't you think?
Yes, I do. The exciting news is that we've seen many good people trying to do something about these things, protesting against bad behavior, corruption, and violence, raising money and other resources for good causes, going out to serve in places where help is needed, and serving those at home in the greatest need. They work in every field, in health, both traditional and alternative, in education at every level, in businesses, local and international, that are successful and serve the common good. These are the visioneers we talked about, but they don't have that name or any form of coordination across all of the places where they're working to do their best. And their efforts mostly get underreported on the back pages instead of on the front pages. We need to ramp that up so that we step back from the brink and come to a tipping point that moves things toward a better future. This is a new project for humanity, where people exit the silos of every kind that we've created between people and enter the global commons, where together we will have the opportunity to create a multitude of actions to improve the common good. With this new thinking, we could take the exponential jump in approach needed to safeguard the future for the next generations. And now we have amazing new technology to connect people all around the world and amplify their efforts so that change can come rapidly. But the thing that's still missing that can drive the change is a unifying vision and a belief that things can be massively different. My hope is that the story of the Visioneers, created 25 years ago, can be a message for the global village we have today, that it can create a conviction in the minds of millions of people everywhere that things can be different. The story can point the way, show the path, and give people the energy they need to go out and make the difference together, one piece and one project at a time, until there are so many positive things happening that they are seen to be the normal response and the whole world picture is changed.
Yes, when people hear the gripping details of the story and get caught up into the adventure, and see how people all over the world are inspired to come together to bring in a better future. That's when they too will be inspired to act and to ask, as in the book, why not?
What we need is a critical mass of people putting up their visions, coming together in millions of ways and in unprecedented numbers to say that things can be different, and this is the way we will do it. The point is that it will be coming from the people in their thousands all over the world, not from charismatic leaders telling others how it's to be done. The leaders need to create the structure to allow this to happen, and then they must take their direction from the people. That's what happens in the story of the Visioneers. The story was a fantasy 25 years ago, but today, like the technology that was then only imagined, it can become reality.
And we need the people listening to this message to help us do it. Remembering anthropologist Margaret Mead's famous advice, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has.
The story of the Visioneers can be like an allegory or a parable from the past, showing the way to the future with people spreading the word through all their networks.
So now, let's get started.